This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You need surgery.
Bisexual. Triple bypass.
On Joy 94.9.
That's right, listeners. This is Triple Bypass here on Joy 94.9, where Joy's bisexuality program, and that was Suitably Any Which Way by the Sissy Sisters. I'm Ruby.
I'm Anthony.
And we are joined by a very special guest, author and lecturer, and just general bi Wonder Woman, Maria Perich. Perocha Kiroli.
I said I know. I love the variation, Ruby. There.
You're very
I've never
kind.
Heard that one before. It's gorgeous.
I'll go with that. Originality is always good.
It is.
And Maria had published, about a year or 6 months ago, a book about women who marry bisexual men. And this book's actually picked up a lot of interest, both in Australia and internationally. And it's something I think that we're all quite eager to hear about because it's one of the rare areas in the bisexual group. I think bisexual men are the least likely people to come out on the entire LGBTIT spectrum.
They are. And there's one here who's out. But I am interested in the title. I think it's a great title, firstly. Bi men, bi women. Bi men, bi women.
Oh, thank
brilliant.
You.
Witty. We're very
it's
witty.
Just, bisexuality just lends itself to the best puns. It really
I know.
Does.
I think it's fantastic. Oh, look, it was great to do. And honestly, the publishers were a bit funny about that title. I wish they had listened to you people because it's so true. But they mm-hmm. wanted women in relationships with bisexual men. So
oh, no.
Yawn.
Oh, so dry. So
and then I lobbied for the bi men, bi women to come later.
Perfect.
But it was interviewing 78 women, Sarah Lubavitz and I, and their perspectives. And some of their partners want to be part of that as well. Full spectrum, from the most horrible stories to the most queer, kinky, hot stories.
Oh,
yeah.
Love good. It. Well, if you guys want to get involved in the conversation, if you've got any questions for Maria about by women, by men, women who are by women, by men, you can message us on 0427-JOY-949. You can email us at onair@joy.org.au. You can check us out on Facebook at Triple Bypass at Joy, on Twitter at Triple Bypass, and you can listen to this program later by subscribing to our podcast on iTunes or at joy.org.au/Triple Bypass.
And don't forget to go to the Joy Triple Bypass page to catch all our podcasts.
Just like I said.
Like you said.
It's all right. We're all just quite excited here. Now, Maria and I have actually met before. We both did a bit of a chat on bisexuality for Triple J a little while ago. And it was, you know, you have a wealth of knowledge on the subject. You really do. So I suppose, where did the interest come from?
I guess for me, actually when we were off air, we were talking about marginality and I guess for me it's about going lateral. So I grew up, as we were saying, and I'm still nervous doing this program because I grew up with no English. I was one of those, you know, perhaps stereotypical WOG families and no English, starting school, feeling very poor amongst all the Anglo-Irish English kids. And my family was very different. So I grew up with two mums, two dads, because I was a shared child between my auntie and uncle and my parents. And I've written all about that in another book, Tapestry, which is my autoethnography of my family. So for me, and also from the time I was 16, I had queer friends coming to my place. My parents, you know, had no issues. So my dad wasn't violent. My parents weren't homophobic. My mum was a really strident feminist. And I guess it comes from, and then I got involved in the HIV era. So I had friends dying of HIV AIDS. And my first book donated to Bobby Goldsmith Foundation was about John. So, and because as a feminist, I think we were saying this, Ruby, I always felt so different to many straight women and other straight women. And I also felt so different to a lot of middle classness. And I felt so different that for me, my friendship groups and my communities became very broad.
Wow, so many dimensions to that personal journey up until this point, and then you start writing, and then so why write a book about bisexuality, or why research this area?
Yeah, again, also because I was, to be honest with you, frustrated with the fact that even within the gay communities, the GLBTIQ communities, there is what we call nerdily exclusion by inclusion, which means that even within those groups, you have hierarchies.
Absolutely.
So when I was writing and supporting gay men, and I'm not I hope I'm not being offensive to gay men who might be listening, but when I was working for anti-homophobia in schools and writing about HIV, it was like, yeah, let's get her to do that. As soon as I began to question, well, how can bi people be excluded from Mardi Gras? Whoa. It was like I was put into another category, you know.
Yeah.
It was not cool. I wasn't the cool girl hanging out in the gay community. I was suddenly questioning things about
that. You're using a dirty word.
Yeah. And I was like, well, you can't actually just say Mardi Gras back then is only for gay and lesbians. It's not for trans. It's not for bi. So my premise, because I work a lot with Indigenous communities, Muslim communities, diverse cultural backgrounds as well, so that's the other facets of my work. And for me, it's like any community that excludes members of their own communities, like Muslim gay kids and et cetera, that's just not on for me. So that's my core value.
Absolutely. So this idea, I suppose, we have a really deep understanding of intersectionality, this idea that discrimination itself is so layered and that people within one group can actually be facing different levels of discrimination than others in the group, and it's not all the same for everybody, because there is definitely a hierarchy, both racial and gendered, in every community.
Yeah.
And to pretend that the queer community is any different to that, I think, would be doing a huge disservice to people who face that.
Yeah.
So I suppose it's fantastic, firstly, to hear that you have been doing this for such a long time and that you are aware of the hostility that can come from mentioning it. It still is called the Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras, though.
I know, and I think language is something that's really... And look, it's generational as well, so you've got certain generations that want to maintain what they fought for, but then when they become resistant to further inclusion and change, then that's problematic. And look, I don't put any community on a pedestal. My Italian community, the arguments we have in there when, you know, the older Italians who now think they're Australian and own property everywhere and, you know, can sell $25 rocket salad and things like that. When they turn around and say that Asians smell and Muslims shouldn't be allowed in this country and they're causing problems, like that kind of stuff is not on.
Yeah. So you ruffle a few feathers going into minority groups that challenge their pre-existing beliefs and myths that they hang on to.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm thinking about bisexuality in particular. And what was that like, getting together to sort of organise that particular area of examination?
Yeah. Well, when I was doing the early work on the book before this one, sorry, was called Border Sexualities, Border Families, where I worked with young bisexual people in schools and polyamorous families. So, and that always comes, for me, it's like I follow branches. So when I'm doing one research project, I always love it when someone criticises me. So anyone out there, please do, because I love it when someone says, well, hang on, how about? And I go, oh, yeah, fair enough. So that's where it came from. And for me, the need to talk about bisexual men, as we said, Ruby, that night on the other program, you know, the bisexual woman is stereotyped as the girl-on-girl action for straight male porn. It's okay to have girls kissing. Bisexual men have always been seen as evil, deviant, predatory,
selfish,
and they either end up suiciding or killing someone else or dying in films, you know.
Yeah.
And we needed to work with women. Oh, sorry.
Is that my trajectory?
Only in the movies, Anthony.
Only in the movies, Anthony. That's what we're trying to say. Yeah. And there's so many wonderful women who are married to these guys and they'd never had a voice. And so for me, around women's health, feminist issues, it was about getting those voices out there. And Sarah used to run the Women with Bi Partners group at ACON in the days when AIDS was considered something that bisexual men spread everywhere.
Yeah, I remember reading briefly, there's been a few write-ups on your book, and one of the mentions of it was this idea that bisexual men were these infiltrators who are carrying HIV towards women and like maliciously spreading it.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, I do believe it's reasons like that why, again, I think only 11% of all people, men who identify as bisexual, ever come out to their friends and family. 11%.
Yeah, it's very low. It's because of the stigma that you get from mainstream society and from within the queer communities and then maybe from your cultural community. And it's also this thing that bisexual men, you're talking about ruffling feathers, but bisexual men are really problematic for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of women who said this really upset some people, that a lot of women actually preferred bisexual men to straight men.
It does not surprise me at all.
I know.
I can understand that.
Because bisexual men challenge, if they're out and they're healthy and they're positive about themselves, they challenge traditional notions of masculinity, being penetrated, allowing equity in the household, sharing everything equally?
Oh, well, we're definitely going to touch on that a bit more.
Oh,
I'd love
to
hear more about it. We do have to go to a break. We're going to play another song by Peaches at Maria's request. But first up, a few announcements. Stay tuned, guys. This is Triple Bypass and you're on Joy.
Hello, good thanks. This is Effie and you're listening to Melbourne's most uplifting music mix on Joy 94.9. How ace is this?
So ace. This is Joy 94.9 and you're listening to Triple Bypass. We're here to put the B in LGBTI and that was I, You, She by Peaches. I'm Ruby.
I'm Anthony.
And we are joined by Maria. Thank
hey
you so
there
much for joining us. Maria as an academic, author, general...
activist.
Activist is definitely the right word for it. And we've been speaking about, particularly about her book, By Men, By Women. So that's By B.I. Men, B.Y. Women, about women who are married to bisexual men, as well as your own history in working with marginalised groups and minority groups across Australia, it sounds like, and the way that those groups establish their own hierarchy and their own kind of pecking order and how that's actually, you know, and how you've come up against that in the LGBTIQ community.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And how much inconvenience being bisexual creates for all these.
Anthony, that's the problem. It's uncomfortable for a lot of people. It's inconvenient for a lot of people because you're questioning some very nice boxes that people think, well, I know my life, I know where I belong, I know what I want to do.
Yeah.
And you're coming along just like trans people do and go, actually, those are all fabrications.
Mm-hmm.
And we go way beyond.
I think anything that subverts the idea of monosexuality, which
yes
is like as much as society is heteronormative, it's also very much mononormative in the idea that people are attracted based on gender.
Yeah.
That gender is the major focus of attraction and that, you know, it's either or. And that, you know, half the population, for whatever reason, is not open to you.
Yeah.
But obviously, that is not the case. And so your book particularly was talking with women who are in relationships.
Yes. And Maria, I'm dying to know, what did these women say about how fabulous we are?
Oh, okay. They said a lot of things.
Also the terrible things as well.
Now, did you want to go straight into the sex talk or did you want me to... Oh,
well, I wasn't actually referring to that, but please.
I mean, okay. I think there was some talk about penetration before, so we can go back to that. But I suppose, firstly, so how did you get in touch with them?
Yeah. As I said, I worked with Sarah Leibovitz and we started by just putting stuff out through the queer papers, through networks, through the internet, and then we began to get women talking to each other, as you know women do, because many women had gone to health services, gay men's health services, women's health services, and been turned away and been told, what are you doing there, what's wrong with you being in a relationship with a bisexual man, and that's how these women came together. And then sometimes men, the bi partners, would go, I really think my partner would love talking to you. So there were many men involved in this project, but it was up to the women whether they wanted their partners involved or not. So some of the interviews took place with men there, sometimes they read the transcript. It was a really, like, nerdy word, decolonizing research practice. I go with my participant where they want to take me. And
fantastic.
And that's where some of the really positive, fantastic stuff came through that has been undermined both in the queer communities and in straight world, hetero world.
Yeah.
Things like they make, you know, they've challenged traditional notions of men. These are the positive stories. If women want to be non-monogamous, if women want to penetrate a guy, if women want to get into kink play, if women want to explore their own sexuality. So that's why I love Peach's work, you know.
Yeah.
And men would, a lot of bisexual men are positive and comfortable with that. Sensitivity. Mm-hmm. A lot of men are way more sensitive and aware of marginality. They know what women go through.
Anthony's head is getting a little too big for this studio.
It is. I'm jumping out of my skin here. But I'm really interested in that because I was thinking a lot about sort of the experiences of these bi men that the women were discussing. But there's something really amazing about the experiences they're having, not just what they offer their male partners, but also that you're saying that they have this experience of feeling free from this sort of feminine script, if you like, or these kind of ideas of the way women should behave in relationships.
Yeah, a lot of women felt it very freeing from feminine scripts. You know, many women were actually felt much more comfortable with their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
They could actually explore their bodies and feel really much more comfortable whatever their bodies were. They were able to be more articulate and talk about, hey, I really want to penetrate you. Hey, I want to do this to you. Hey, I want to have a threesome consensually or foursome or fifthsome with you and your male partners.
At what point does it become an orgy?
Ah, yeah. Oh, and then and we had some wonderful women who talked to us about, well, I know how to use gloves, you know, one finger for each partner and penetration. And so they told us all this stuff. And many of the women said, you know, we've never been able to talk about this. It's okay in straight porn. In normative porn,
yeah.
Where you've always got girl on girl action, but a lot of the women thought we've never had an opportunity to go. We, you know, we're not bad women because we are interested in all this as well, and we want to talk about it. So there were some really positive, but even like taking care of children,
right?
And men, bisexual men, seem to not have as many restrictions around. I want to be a hands-on parent. I want to be involved. I want to turn up to school. That sensitivity, communication skills that bisexual men, these are all the positive stories, but the bisexual men seem to be much better at communicating, less defensive, less reactive, much more in touch with their own emotions and able to talk about, and also being able to talk comfortably with women about their desires and what they wanted in their own lives.
Well, I wonder if that's connected to understanding the how oppressive social structures can be.
And yes. The gender binary.
And gender binary.
Absolutely. I suppose, like, when it comes to things like being more comfortable, women feeling more comfortable with their bodies around bisexual men, if they know that their partners are already attracted to different body types across a broad range,
maybe.
And won't have to worry about, oh, I'm flat-chested, he won't like that. Well, he obviously hasn't got an issue with flat chests.
Exactly. But it was also the fun little things like, oh, wow, I can walk down the street and we can check out the same guys.
Right.
You know, like the everydayness of life.
That's fun.
Which was just fun, you know, yeah. So those things where women felt like, wow, I'm actually getting a space where I can talk about all this.
So, Anthony, you're the bi man in the room with the mic. What are some experiences that you've had that you think would, like, explain some of these things? Like, why might bi men be better who are out? I assume most of these men were out.
Yeah, that's a big issue we hope we talk about
later.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, so what do you think about your own experiences as a bisexual man would feed into that, this idea that, yeah, you know, you do communicate better? Have you had to be able to communicate across different things? Or why would you have a different understanding of the gender binary?
I don't know how to, I guess, answer that in a... when you said that, I thought about how... you have to constantly, or how I had to constantly think about how I'm presenting in a particular area of my life, not just when I came out in the queer spaces, but also in straight spaces where I had this sort of had to focus on myself and what I was saying and how I was saying it and how were people interpreting it. And you spend so much time thinking about you in the world and you being in the social world and all these interactions. That you start to think about that for other people also. So I think it can tap into feeling oppressed can actually tap into other people's sense of oppression in the world also.
Absolutely.
And most bi guys I know will call themselves pro-feminist men as well. So
yeah, there was a strong link there, Anthony, between pro-feminism and bisexuality in men. And we've, you know, a lot of this stuff is shut out. You know, this book didn't get published very easily. We had a lot of publishers turn it down because they thought we were going to do the evil bisexual story only. Bisexual male story. And then when we began to talk about all this resilience and positiveness and skills and ways of being, no, thank you.
It's interesting that so they were more interested in hearing the evil stories than in actually hearing that about women with bi men in a positive light.
Yeah. I mean, again, Ruby, you know, you've got to think about most of these publishers are heterosexual identifying, whatever they do, we don't know.
Yes.
And they were predominantly white older men who are publishers.
So
of course, the narrative doesn't, you know, it's uncomfortable for them because the narrative is challenging their privilege and the fact that they should know they've got it all together.
Well, actually, I think we'll talk a bit more about challenging the narrative because I think you were mentioning, which we'll definitely get to, that all the stories were not positive because...
Exactly.
I think we'll definitely talk more about that after this break. So coming up, we've got some ads. We've got a pretty great song by Junior Senior. So stay tuned, guys. This is Triple Bypass and you're on Joy. That's right. You can head to joy.org.au and become a member of any show you'd like, including us, and we're Triple Bypass. We're the bisexuality program here on Joy, and that was Chicks and Dicks by Junior Senior. I'm Ruby.
I'm Anthony.
And we're joined by Maria. I did mangle her last name a few times.
No, you didn't. It was a beautiful variation.
It was the first time she'd heard it said like that, which is a really kind way of saying
it. No, I really do. I love it. I think it's wonderful. Yeah. I don't have
variations.
And I can tell she's actually...
Right. We're talking about variation, aren't we?
It's true. And I can tell she actually means all of this, which just makes it all the better. Now, Maria is here. She's She's an established author and academic and activist, and one of the areas that she has looked at is bisexuality. And her book, her most recent book is By Men, By Women, which was about women who have been married or been in relationships with bisexual men. And just before that break, we were talking about all the positive experiences. Yes. We're about to get into the negatives now. So listeners, take care of yourself.
Yeah.
If you do want to message us, you can message if you've got any questions for Maria from what you've already heard or what might be coming up now. You can message us on 0427 569 949. You can email us at onair@joy.org.au. And you can always check us out later by finding our podcast on iTunes or at joy.org.au/triple bypass. So, yeah, before the break, you were Maria, you were talking about how the women who did talk to you about their partners who were bisexual, bisexual men, were saying that there was a lot of, for some of them, particularly bisexual men who are out, they all tend to be more women positive, body positive, feminist positive, better at communication, more interested in breaking down gender barriers and in, like, you know, non-conformist parental roles. That all sounds really great, but we have to assume that it wasn't all great.
Yes. As I said, no community's on a pedestal. And unfortunately, there were also bisexual men who were violent towards their children and their female partners, sometimes towards their male partners. We also had bisexual men. We had women who came to us who were HIV positive and who had got a whole lot of STIs, various STIs. One of the things, and so those women needed to share those experiences.
Absolutely.
And can I say again how difficult it was for those women to be listened to if they went to a gay men's health service or if they went to a women's health service, because the problem became them. What are you doing with a guy like that? There were women who were made to feel sexually inadequate. I'm not good enough, and he wants to do things with me that I don't want to do, and it's not consensual. So there was non-consensual sex. So all this stuff, unfortunately, listeners, it was there, and Sarah and I used to come away from those interviews not feeling all hot and sexy, but feeling like the other interviews, but feeling really devastated and angry. Why? One of the things that came through, a major factor was, and this is not justifying these men's behaviours at all, but it's important we're all aware of that, and that is that these men were frustrated and were angry and were experiencing mental health, alcohol and drug problems, because they were not out and they were not comfortable within their own sexualities. Or, you know, we had women who said that their partners had been told by priests to, oh, just get married to a woman and you'll go straight. And yeah, living all of that and living those lies. So men who were secretive, men who did beats, men who maybe culturally were caught in situations where they had to pretend to be heterosexual and had to live that life, unfortunately manifested their anger and frustration and mental health issues on the people who were more vulnerable in their lives, which tended to be female partners, their children.
Yes.
And the number of women, unfortunately, who ended up being the woman, if women came from traditional backgrounds as well, these women often felt their role was to keep peace in the family, protect their children, stay married, and often some ethnic communities, some of these women experienced that. So a whole range of factors came to play there. Horrible stuff, very horrible stuff.
Well, I mean, family violence in all sorts of forms. And I'm just wondering, just specifically with your research and interviews with these women, what were some of the supports that you were able to offer them?
Yeah, what we did is we connected women to each other, and we also had brilliant referral services to actually health services where women were going to be listened to, could get support and confidential support. So, for example, one of the interviews I did was in Sydney. The woman was from a particular religious background, and she was terrified to have the interview at home because basically, he'd gone overseas, brought his male lover in, and she'd become like the domestic housekeeper, having children and taking care of both men now. So the interview had to be done as we walked along the street with my tape recorder, with my audio recorder, because she felt unsafe. And we were able to offer her a range of services that she could go to. And one of them was Sarah's service. But again, she was not going to go into Oxford Street and access ACON. She wasn't going to go to her local religious community. There, she had nowhere to go, and she was bruised, terrified, but her main, and she couldn't go to her own community because she's a woman. She has to raise her children. She's got to put up with the relationship that she's found herself in.
That's really heartbreaking, because I've always thought of because I'm bi and poly as well, and I've always thought about poly relationships as being something that can sort of limit the risk of family violence occurring because there are more eyes in the relationship, there are more people invested.
This doesn't sound like a poly relationship, though.
Yes,
because a poly relationship would be when the woman had consented to him having another partner.
Yeah. Oh, so she didn't consent to this partner. No. He came along and then they sort of dominated her in the relationship.
Yeah. And so for her it was like, okay, he's bisexual. He says he loves me, but I'm abused all the time if I step out of my role. There are other things. Look, you know, as I said, a lot of, we call it bi-masculinity, which Anthony, I think you're epitomising right here, but you're a bi-masculinist, which means that you're positive and out there and communicative. But we also had bi-misogynists that we talked to.
And they're everywhere.
I know.
I mean, just not necessarily bi-misogynist, but just misogyny just creeps into everything.
Yeah, there were bisexual men who are absolutely misogynists who say things like, well, I can get a new car, I'm going to go out with the boys, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, but you stay home, you take care of the children. And so these men who imposed on women traditional normative misogynist values that their women had to live to, they could definitely not poly. It was a kind of very different. And so these women were but, you know, again, all these women would talk about this, but it always came back to a society that did not allow their male partners to be open and honest and feel comfortable within themselves, which then got manifested badly onto their families.
Could I just, I'm a bit curious, was there any examples where it sounded more like it was a gay man who'd been forced to marry a woman? Because that definitely happens as well.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of research done on gay men who come out, and I saw in Joy FM Gary Wilson on the live board, and that's fantastic. But these were men who actually did acknowledge that they were attracted to both partners, to both men and women, to different but they also had very different gendered beliefs about what you can expect from women. So women, some of these men believe that their female partners would provide emotional support and a lovely home to go back to, cooked meals, lovely children, and then they could be out doing whatever they wanted to do with all their male partners, which, by the way, the other side to this story is some of the gay men and other bisexual men who sometimes found themselves in a relationship with a guy like that who were also secondary abused, you know, that came through.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, gay or bi or whatever, I think all men, this is just my theory, but I think all men carry a sense of misogyny and sexism because we internalise patriarchy, we internalise our own privilege, and then that we have to constantly think about how we carry it and how that gets expressed.
Absolutely.
And it sounds like it was expressed in horrible ways with these bisexual men.
Yeah. As I said, there was, you know, this was a particular group of men and most of them had that linked background, but I think it's great you acknowledge that, Anthony, because, and that was the difference, because a man, a bisexual man who had a wonderful relationship with his female partner and male partners or partner, usually were men who were conscious of those, that internalized patriarchy, and worked against it.
Well, that's fantastic to hear that, you know, that that is the result from being able to come out, which I think is why it is important that bisexual people, men and women, do have that space, because we are still, for, you know, men it's less so than women, but even with women, the number of bisexual people who come out is actually still very low. It's less than a third of us.
Yeah.
And that level of frustration, so bisexual women are more likely to self-harm when they're teenagers.
Yep.
They're more likely to face sexual assault because, of, as we've been talking about at the very beginning of the show, the kind of hypersexualized heterosexual opinions that are put onto bisexual women.
Mm-hmm.
So this lack of a space is extremely harmful, and not just for them, but for, in the end, that can leak outwards as well. And, you know, we've seen the results of internalized homophobia and what men who have those own frustrations and feelings of inadequacy can do.
Yeah.
So it makes a horrible kind of sense that, you know, that could be the end result.
Yeah, and we are seeing shifts now. We're seeing younger generations who are really into pansexual, sexually fluid, demisexual. Like, the labels are really
homoflexible.
Homoflexible, heteroflexible.
Genderqueer.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And some of these guys we interviewed were actually, they would say things, look, I'm actually straight, I'm heterosexual, but I'm heteroflexible. And so, you know,
to
and the women
queer.
Would talk. Yeah, so it came. And then sometimes he had a situation where the guy thought he was gay. I'm gay, I'm gay. And then suddenly this woman comes into his life and he goes, oh, no. Like, oh, my God, what's happened now? I was so comfortable. I knew exactly who I was. So we got both sides to that, which was really, really interesting.
Well, look, so this has all been from your book, which is By Men, By Women. So that's B-I Men, B-Y Women. And so that's out Available now.
Yeah. One of the issues I'm not happy about, and Anthony, you're being very polite and you're not talking about it, but I'm going to talk about it.
It's worth every cent.
It's terribly expensive and I'm not happy about that. One of the problems we had was getting a publisher, and then we chose this one. We ran it past the women and the women said, look, it's going to go international. Get it out there.
The point with this book was to give people the information.
And, exactly.
And you know, you obviously want people to access it, which that's fantastic. Yeah. We're going to talk more about that international aspect of that book right after this break. So please stay tuned, guys. This has been Triple Bypass. Coming up next is Gettin' By from my favourite TV show ever, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Stay tuned. You're on Joy. That's right. This is Joy 94.9 and you are listening to Triple Bypass. We're here to put the B in LGBTIA, and that was Gettin' By from the TV show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I'm Ruby.
I'm Anthony.
And we are joined by Maria, who has published a book recently about bisexual men and their female partners called By Men, By Women.
Yay!
Which is fantastic and punny and everything we love. And so we've been talking about the stories that have come out from that book, the positives and the negatives about what the reactions you've been getting throughout your life as an activist, not just for bisexual people, but for every marginalized group I can think of. And the results, the responses you've been getting and why this was important. And if you guys want to listen to that, you can check it out later when we post the podcast at joy.org.au/triplebypass, or you can find us on iTunes. Now, we've got a bit of time left before we have to wrap up the show. So if you want to get a quick question in, you can message us on 0427-JOY-949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. Now, this book was published, and we were just really recently talking about the it has got quite a high price tag.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is considered to be – you interviewed, it sounds like, over 70 women?
Or 78 women.
78 yeah. women who have all been in relationships with bisexual men, some who are out and some who are not.
Yeah.
And but this book seems to – so this was published in Australia, but it's gone bigger than that.
Oh, no, it was published – this is a thing. Like, yeah. We were trying to find an Australian publisher, and we just couldn't because of all these – you know, like prejudices and stereotypes.
You were saying before that they were more interested when they yep. thought it was going to be entirely negative yes. than when they heard yeah. it was going to be positive as well.
I mean, we've got the letters and we've got the emails which say, oh, really? Oh, no. Is that true? Were there really men like that? Or, oh, thank you. No, thank you. We really don't want the book. So we had to go to New York, Roman and Littlefield, Lexington Books to publish it.
The things you have to do to get a book published, eh? Travel to the
it's so
big
true
apple.
These days. But I guess for me, I feel, as I said, I'm not happy with the price, but the information is there are ways of getting it yes. out there, ways
Absolutely.
And ways and means. But the other thing is I did do a novel before that mm-hmm. called Love You Too. The novel is at Hares and Hyenas, very reasonably priced. I actually really love that novel because it is based on this research and a whole lot of research I did into polyamory and young people. And because one of the things that came through all my projects was bi and poly parents saying there's nothing for our kids. Mm. There's nothing for young people to read,
yeah.
And it's doing really well, and I'm really happy. That's an Australian publisher, Random House.
Excellent. And but also, so but this by Men by Women book has been shortlisted for a Lander Award. So for bisexual nonfiction. Now, this is your third nomination, and you've won two of these awards already, which is tied for as many of these that have been won at all. Now So how long has there been a bisexual category at the Lambdas?
Now, I don't know the exact dates, but I tell you, the amount of lobbying that happened from the bisexual communities in America to get the Lambda Awards to actually acknowledge bisexuality and have two bisexual categories, the bisexual nonfiction and I think bisexual anthologies fiction,
mm-hmm.
was fantastic. But it took an incredible long time. It was all about gay and lesbian, and the transgender communities had to put their own fight up.
Right.
And now it's expanded. So I think it's only been about 5-6 years.
Okay, they're the two new categories for Lambda, isn't it? The transgender and bisexual.
Yeah. And then they've split into fiction, nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just brilliant.
Wow.
And again, for me, it's like, I guess, you know, we talked about before what draws all this together for me. For me, it's like I'm really interested in how people have to live between lots of communities. And wherever you go, someone doesn't like something about you and you've got to fight it. And the fact that the Lambda Awards, which were the, you know, the queer awards,
yeah.
didn't even have bisexual and trans categories, you know, that's problematic. But can I say the bisexual communities have got their own awards in the States and they're going to continue those?
Yeah.
And they've Brilliant. Been so happy to be part of the Lambdas.
Well, and so I suppose, like, I'd be curious because we've got the bisexual community in Victoria has been growing. One of our co-hosts, James, who's not on the show tonight, he's actually one of the chairs for Bi Alliance Victoria.
Yeah.
And he's been doing that for a while now. So I think, you know, he talks about going to the first Pride March where it was him and two of his friends holding the banner.
Yeah.
That was it for the community. And now, you know, we've got a pretty decent presence every year, which is really exciting. So, but the US, like, you know, after the Stonewall riots, which bisexual people were quite heavily involved with.
Yes.
What is the community like over there?
The bisexual community, very diverse, very much more confident and comfortable. The word bisexual itself is starting to lose some interest from younger generations who are into pansexual, sexually fluid, heteroflexible, homoflexible, but it's actually become much more, the communities are much more organised and much more out there. And doing things like Rebecca Dominguez does from Bi Alliance, which is sit on boards. Like she and I sit on the LGBTI working group for the Department of Health and Human Services. So getting material out there, lobbying out there, it's a much more proactive group.
Absolutely. Well, that's well, I think, they've got quite a long history. I remember reading, not sure, maybe you've read it, Bi Notes for a Bisexual Revolution.
Yes, yes.
Which is a book that I cannot speak highly enough of. They, in that book, it was mentioned that the bisexual convention was one of the first conventions that actually had disability access.
Yes.
Out of all the LGBTI conventions.
Yeah.
And they also were, after LG became LGB, they were the ones fighting to put the T at the end.
Yeah.
Well, and I find that a bit, I mean, this may sound arrogant, but I find that bisexuals tend to be incredibly mindful of being inclusive.
Yeah. I wonder why that could be. Would you say that at the very beginning of the show, you did mention that when you were working with the gay community for Mardi Gras, they were very happy to have you, and then things got a little shaky when you mentioned bisexuality.
Yeah.
So could you...
I used to get things like, Maria's coming, or, you know, you better just lock your boyfriends away. And like, really? I've just done a book on HIV and I've been out there, you know, being told all sorts of things and getting vandalised and horrible stuff said because I want to support, and I'm doing all the anti-homophobic work with Wayne Martino, a dear friend of mine, in schools, and now I actually want to question something you've done. But I get that from ethnic communities as well. They love it when I do anti-racist work, but then if you start mentioning homophobia or biphobia or transphobia, they're, oh, no, we don't want you to. You know, every community seems to set up these artificial barriers, and I'm not into those, and I think we've all got to work beyond those categories.
I've always, like, kind of wondered where it's come from, and I do think we were talking before about Anthony was very eloquently putting the idea that we all do actually internalise levels of privilege, you know, male privilege, white privilege, all these different levels where we don't really – it is hard for us to give up.
Yeah.
Whether we're aware of it or not, or hard to actually have to question things that we've taken for granted for a very long time.
But you know what, Ruby? It's what you said before, though, because bisexuality, whether it's about how people behave or whether what they identify as, it's always been there, you know, like, and that's something that I'm working with, and I've gone off on another tangent now, but I'm working with a lot of queer young people from Muslim, Jewish, a whole range of communities. And, like, you go back to love poetry in Islam from the 14th century, and you've got this most beautiful poet, I think it was Rumi or Abu Bakr, who says things like, oh, tonight I don't know whether I should go with the skirt or the sword, you know, like, and it's
that.
About his own, and what happened to all that beautiful, and Hindu art is poly.
Well, I think they found graffiti in Pompeii, that little town that was there, that was basically like, you know, weep women for I'm leaving you tonight for men.
That's brilliant. It's just there.
But also I think the broader queer community needs to thank the bee for its versatility and its many uses, because a lot of people have used it as a holding space while they worked out their developing sexual identity, sexual and gender identities, and then they moved on to something that felt more affirming.
Yep.
And yet we are still here. Be still home for us. You're welcome.
Yeah.
You have used it.
Exactly.
Please stop abusing it.
It's in Spanish, they call bisexual people mestizi, because there's such a multiplicity within, and that's the beauty of it. And I think that's where it's all going to go, and I think it's wonderful. And I agree. And by the way, we're having problems with the word phase. It's only a phase.
Yes.
Because we've heard that.
You're so right, Anthony. It can be a space for people to work themselves out. However, if you look at sexual fluidity, the realities of it, there is no such thing as a phase. You are where you are at that point. Yes. And whether you move or you don't, but actually writing off bisexual people is it's only a phase, love.
Right.
It's problematic.
Well, that's a
really,
tactic.
And it is. And I'm not even sure if it's a conscious tactic half the time, but I think, I think it was Robin Oakes who did say, bisexuality, is the understanding that I can be attracted to more than one gender, not necessarily at the same time, not necessarily in the same way, not necessarily to the same extent. And while it's exciting to hear kids are embracing different terms, like, of being pansexual or demisexual, I do hope the bisexuality stays around because I've always seen it kind of as an umbrella.
Yeah.
And just kind of covering everyone who is attracted to more than one.
Yeah.
And it'd be a shame to lose that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we'll lose it. I think it's actually becoming more prominent and it's becoming more positively where's my English tonight? It's more positive.
Right.
Yeah, no.
As a term.
Yeah. I think so too. And maybe we can get back to writing some nice bi poetry. Or if you haven't already done that, Maria.
Oh, I'm not a poet. It took me ages just to write the novel.
Yes. So, folks, get out there and check out her book. It's Bi Men, Bi Women, and everything you need to know about Australian women going out with bi guys.
Absolutely.
And what was the name of your fictional novel as well?
Oh, yeah, I love that. Oh, see, I go all gooey when I think of that one. It's called Love You Too. So, T-W-O, Love You Too.
Love You Too.
And Hares and Hyenas and... A lot of adults are reading it, which is fantastic. And, a lot of young people, a lot of parents are giving it to their teenage kids. But, I tried to put everything in that novel. Bi, poly, multiculturalism, the whole way.
See, a bi.
How inclusive. In my head, I can't get out of, I can't be in one box.
Is it like 4,000 pages? We're looking at like Harry Potter, Goblet of Fire kind of a book here.
Yeah. No, it's really nice. It's only like 150.
Oh, that sounds lovely. Well, look, we do have to start wrapping up there. If you please, guys, check out the podcast, which you can find at iTunes on Triple Bypass or on our website to hear about this interview with Maria about her work, not just our recent book, but her whole history of the work in the area.
And Maria, when you win the third Lambda Award, will you come back and talk to us?
Oh, knock on wood,
She's excited.
Of course I will, but I don't know if I'll win. I'm just delighted that it's getting out there.
And we're delighted as well. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing.
Thank you.
You're the ones connecting with people. And thank James and thank Rebecca and thank the whole Bi Alliance. And, you're doing awesome work. And you're out there. Being, and I think that's really important.
Being bi.
Being very bi. All right, guys, if you want to listen to us being bi, we'll be back next week at 9 o'clock on a Tuesday. Thank you so much for listening. This has been Triple Bypass, and this is Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.